The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus. And he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "Let me tell you a story. A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him, and they went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own camel, took him to the inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with this instruction: take care of him. And if you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Now, which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Then go and do the same thing." This is the gospel of the Lord. This is probably the most well-known of all Jesus' parables because the lesson is so obvious, although it's only found in Luke's gospel. And you've certainly had teachers in past years explain it, but let me try once again so you can remember it, because it's worth remembering. First of all, we have a scholar, a smart guy. And he stood up not really to have his question answered, but to test Jesus. I've experienced that very often over the years. People just want to see what I'm going to say. They're not interested in the answer. They only want to know if I agree with them. That's all. That's called a dishonest question, where you already have the answer before you ask the question, and you just want to see if they agree with you. A lot of people live at that level, I'm afraid. But Jesus doesn't take offense. He says, "Well, what's written in the law?" And the answer he gives is perfect. He puts together the 2 great commandments exactly as Jesus would: love of God and love of neighbor. And he says, "Do this and you will live." This is the summary of all of the 613 Jewish commandments, are summed up in love of God and love of neighbor. It's amazing how often we get preoccupied with the other things and avoid the central and summary commandments. But then there's another giveaway line: but because he wished to justify himself. So again, this guy isn't seeking God or the truth or anything. He's just seeking to look good, or as we Americans say, to feel good about himself. Huh? He doesn't want to love God. He wants to love himself. "Who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus tells this beautiful story that you and I call the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure you've been told that the Samaritans were the outright enemies of the Jews. So here he is, picking a bad guy in their eyes to in fact be the good guy. So already he's going to upset people. He's not making his own religion the hero. He's making another religion. How many of us do that? And the story, as I'm sure you've been told, has if he's coming down from Jerusalem, they're going up to Jerusalem, which means they're probably going to the temple. And as priest and Levite, they have to maintain ritual purity. And it's very true. In the Jewish religion, if you touch a dead body, I don't know why, but that's what was written there at that time, you were ritually impure and could not enter the temple. So that's probably the reason. They're not necessarily bad guys, but they're just trying to maintain ritual purity. So you see part of the point of the story, that love is more important than ritual purity. And yet, I think of how many Catholics are terrified to go to communion if they're not sure that they're pure and perfect. Who of us are pure and perfect? Please stand up if you are. Huh? Are any of us perfectly worthy to attend communion? Of course not. So it's a stupid question to begin with. But this is what these guys want to be, pure. And so they pass up a chance to love an ordinary human being so they can do their priestly work at the temple. But a Samaritan who came upon him was moved with compassion. I have to admit, I don't think I'd do this much, would you? I mean, I might say, oh, I'll pray for you and pat him on the head or something. But boy, he goes out of his way, huh? Takes him to the innkeeper after he bandages his wounds. Not only gives him money, but says, if you spend any more, I'll pay you back. Wow. That is going to the nth degree to show love. And then he simply asks this man who is trying to justify himself, which was the neighbor? So in effect, what Jesus is doing in this beautiful story is defining what neighborliness is, what love of neighbor is, the one who treated him with mercy. Now, you might not have connected with the very first reading that Jim read so well from Deuteronomy, but there it said that the law is not up in the heavens, it's not across the ocean. It's the first indication of what we call natural law. The law is written in your heart. You already know. You know. Your common sense knows what you're supposed to do. And we still don't do it. We contradict our own good common sense to follow arbitrary laws, to seek ritual purity, instead of to love what's right in front of us.